sack. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning. Good snowy morning. Welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate team, and we're high on top of 50 Penn Place at KTOK, looking out at, it's gorgeous, Becky, and I'm here with Becky Ivins. Good morning, Becky.
Good morning, Mark.
Wow. What a view from here.
Well, yes, it is. And, you know, we had a show planned today, right? What to do after the thaw.
Yes.
Well, we're going to have to put that off a week because it is not thawed yet.
We have plenty of time to discuss. It's
yes,
going
to
be a little bit, I think.
I think people might be interested in how do you carry on a real estate business in this kind of weather? How does an extended period of snow and sub-zero, really, temperatures, mm-hmm. how does that affect the process? Because it does affect the process.
We have had a week of spinning plates or juggling or whatever kind of metaphor you want to do, because things start to change when these kind of, we have to rearrange things. You have to work with people who are some dealing with crisis.
We had a discussion, I think it was late last week, actually, about what to do, because we had, I think, 13 closings this week, right? And so how are we going to handle that? Well, everything was ready to close. I mean, the property inspections had been done. The buyers had been qualified. All the appraisal stuff had been done. And I think part of our team got a little bit surprised when I said, no, no, no. We do not close these without further examination,
mm-hmm.
because it's not worth it. I mean, what if a buyer closed on a transaction and, as it turns out, 3 or 4 days later, maybe, maybe not just a day later, a frozen pipe that they didn't even know was frozen burst and ruins all their wood floor. Right? So you kind of have to slow down in situations like this.
Right. And that's where, our team, what we typically do is about an hour before closing, we'll do a final walkthrough with the buyer, and they walk through and look as everything as it should be. Everything there that should be there, nothing there that shouldn't be there. And then we go to the closing. And one of the final documents that a buyer signs is, I now accept this property in its current condition, and I release the title company, the realtors, the seller from obligation of satisfying anything about the property. I now accept it in its current condition.
Right.
And so part of that is, should you do that without seeing the property with your own eyes? And if you can't get there, how do you deal with it?
And
we've
cannot,
had to deal with that this
And
week.
You cannot depend on your realtor to do that.
No.
Any good realtor will refuse to
right.
do that.
Right.
Because we don't see through your eyes. What might seem acceptable to us might be not acceptable to you.
Mm-hmm.
So a good realtor is going to say, let's make arrangements to close this the end of the week instead of the first of the week. Let's give you an opportunity. Now, things that are favorable to that right now are interest rates that are somewhat stable. They've mm-hmm. been about the same for weeks and weeks. In some markets, when the interest rate, your interest rate lock is about to end, and say you're locked in back in the day when this was happening, you might be locked in at 10%, and the interest rate would change to 11%. Your interest rate lock, it ends after a certain amount of time.
Right.
And that's negotiable too, by the way, up front. not at the end, but so if you
that
have
1%
to,
could be a big difference.
Huge when it gets to 11 and 10 and 11%, something like that. So not as big a deal right now, but you do have to pay to extend your interest rate lock, and it's usually at least $300 or $400. Well, that probably is much less than it would cost for a plumber to come out there to do one thing, right?
Right.
So, yeah, but you have to, as a realtor and as a prudent consumer, you're going to have to slow down and look at the options and the consequences to moving too fast.
Yeah, that is a big caution that, Becky, I know you have talked with the team about during this time, is slow down. Just look, no one wants a delay. No one wants a delayed closing. The seller doesn't want it. The buyer doesn't want it. There is no one who really wants it.
And what do I preach all the time? Do not delay. Every day you delay is a chance that closing is not going to happen. Now, does it affect our income? Of course it does, if it doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
However, think of the lives it affects. For the seller, for the buyer, for the other house the seller had sold and their buyer. I mean, there are a lot of lives altered if something fails to close. And so, of course, we don't want to delay unless it's really necessary. Now, one thing you can do in some markets is to go ahead and close not adverse weather like this,
mm-hmm.
but you say there's something maybe, I don't know, you got stuck out of town and you can't get in to close, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, you can close remotely. There's a lot of options out there now that we did not have.
We did not have this
previously.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is get yourself a good realtor that knows their way around and won't push you through a closing that would be to your advantage to maybe hold off a couple of days, right?
That's exactly right. One who's listening and thinking and making adjustments that are good for you with that. We'll be right back with Scott Hill from Call Us First Home Inspections to talk about what you should be checking at your house after the snow. And we'll be back after this break with Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK.
Easy for you to say.
Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We're talking about what to do after the snow. After all this cold and snow, and if you want to call in and be a part of the show and ask your questions, you can call at 405-840-1000. That's 840-1000. And we have with us our inspector, Scott Hill from Call Us First Home Inspections. How are you doing this morning, Scott?
Doing wonderful, Mark. You and Becky both appreciate the opportunity to come on, but all good here. Not too many inspections gone on this last week due to roofs, but we're looking forward to being really busy next week.
Well, we've all become inspectors this week. We've all been kind of looking around of watching for, is there a pipe break-in? Is there something that is everything staying good on our homes? And that's kind of been cautious all week about it.
And, Scott, I'm kind of wondering, I know for our clients, we ask our clients to get a re-inspection prior to closing, because it's really not very expensive to do that. And you, in normal times, not in the frozen tundra times here, but in normal times, get an expert's eyes on the repairs the seller has done to be sure that they were done properly and going to hold up. But in times like this, I mean, there can be all kinds of things that need to be re-inspected. So do you think you're going to be kind of busy doing that this week?
Yeah, no doubt about it, particularly on roofs. I think the thing that, you know, the home inspector's nightmare is always what we call latent defects. You know, you go in and you do an inspection and you do a visible inspection on all everything, make sure it's operating correctly. And then in a certain amount of time, particularly under adverse weather conditions, a latent defect could come up even in the course of one day or hours based on what the weather, particularly this type of extreme weather, could be. So, yeah, I think it's a really good idea to do that. And obviously the cost is way less than what the original cost would be on doing the reinspection. I think it's a smart thing to do. I know a lot of people are strapped dollars and cents wise, but spending an extra $100-$150 to make sure all that stuff's fixed right will probably save you ten times that much over the long haul.
Yeah, you're absolutely right there. So we besides just the home inspection, what do you kind of recommend people do at this stage of the game today on Saturday, now that we will have a few hours of above freezing temperature today? Yesterday we had a couple hours. Today we may have three.
It's a heat wave.
I know. No, we will not be longing for these times in the summer. We will never no. long for these times again. But what can someone do now? Like, we're pretty sure that our sprinkler system, the under the rock thing, the under the fake rock part of our sprinkler system, we have a heat tape on there that to keep it from freezing during the winter. Well, Mr. Ivins, because Becky Ivins isn't going out there, but he told me yesterday, he goes, "Oh, I forgot to plug in the heat tape." So we're pretty sure that we're going to need a plumber. But our house is new enough to where we have a shutoff for our water right there. So that's a good thing. But what do you suggest someone does if they know that it's frozen and it's probably going to crack because water expands when it freezes?
That's correct. Well, I think you came up with a couple of really good examples. Number one, we're usually really, really cautious about making sure on our plumbing page that if there is an in-house cutoff, to make sure that the client knows that it's there. And otherwise, you've got to run all the way out to the curb normally to the water meter. So that can create a problem just from a time perspective. This day and time, or this particular week, finding that underneath all the snow could be as big a problem as anything else. I've written down, Becky, a couple of things that I think maybe in order that all people, quite frankly, whether they're buying a house or just bought a house, but everybody should pay a little bit more attention to this week. And obviously, to title it, it'd be pipes, pipes, and more pipes, just anywhere that you have those. I think you came up with a really good one to start with, the sprinkler system. A lot of times in Oklahoma, sprinkler systems aren't winterized. And they probably should be, particularly during the months of December, January, and February. You're not going to use it much anyway. The biggest caution that I can bring up for all of these pipe situations is to little things like drain your water hose. And then, again, I'm just going to go to the extreme here with what I'm doing at my house, and everybody should do. If you haven't been dripping your pipes, if you have, it's a little bit different situation, but if you haven't been dripping your pipes, same with the sprinkler system, don't go try to run the exterior faucets or even interior faucets full blast until you've had a couple of days above freezing. That can cause more problem, putting more pressure on it. The ice, as you said, Becky, those frozen pipes are going to expand. So letting them go ahead and diffuse themselves, so to speak, melt, then is going to make a big difference. So being patient, particularly with the outside faucets, would make a lot of difference. You know, that's one of the difficult pieces for home inspectors is when we're inspecting exterior faucets, if they're not insulated, we write them up because you just can't see in that wall. You don't know what's going to take place back there. So if they're not insulated, they're on the outside brick or the outside veneer. You probably need to spend a little money and get those faucets insulated to where they're actually snug up against the surface. The second thing that I would bring up is I would go check your electrical panel. A lot of times during extremes like this, you're going to have heating systems that will trip accidentally because they've actually been over-engaged. they've worked harder than they're normally used to working. So sometimes it's an easy fix. If you have a problem, you can just go out and check your panel box where your HVAC or your furnace is listed. And then a couple of other things that are just minor, but things that I would pay attention to. And I think it's smart, if you haven't had your HVAC system serviced, this year would be a good time to do that. Now, the time to do that is going to be, you know, later in March, when right before you're going to start using the air conditioner. But having your HVAC system serviced after your furnace and system having to work so hard in such a short period of time would probably, again, $150, $200 could save you just immense amount of money over the long haul. And then a smaller thing is clean your gutters out. What happens is this ice and snow gets on top of your roofs, and those granules, particularly with shingle roofs, those granulars are going to strip off when it starts getting a little warmer, and they're going to run down into your gutters. Next thing you know, you've got dust and dirt in your gutters that combine and kind of coagulate with the granules, and your guttering system's not going to work correctly once it starts raining again. Those are a couple of little tips that I know we're going to do, Missy and I are going to do around our house, and I think it's wise for everybody to do regardless.
Well, I have a question for you. You know, when the snow builds up like this, I have a son-in-law that one time literally got on a ladder and took a broom and swept off his roof in the front of his house. And the reason for that is that he had two dead valleys up there. And he said, what am I going to do about this? And I said, you know, the easiest thing is to remove the snow, because so that it does not accumulate, and the hydraulic pressure kind of pushes that snow backwards up under your shingles, and you end up with icicles in your attic. So, I mean, right now it would be pretty dangerous to get up on a roof. So how can you break up some of the snow that's piled up there? The weight of it alone, some roofs are not going to withstand that.
You know, Becky, you ask a good question. I know I was doing one of you all's yesterday, and I went out, looked at it, and tried to get on the roof. And the problem is that next to the snow or even underneath the snow, you have to be really careful, particularly if you want to try to get on a roof. Now, if you want to get up and try to break it up very gently with as far as you can reach with a rake or something like that, you still have to be really careful and not damage the shingles.
That's great advice from Scott Hill. Call us First Home Inspection, Scott. We appreciate your calling in, and we're up against a hard break for the news. And you guys hang on, because we've got more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK.
Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins team, and we're here with Becky Ivins, and we're talking about what to do after the thaw. I mean, well, it is, but we're coming up on the thaw. I think the sun's out.
A partial thaw is worse than no thaw at all, I think. So.
Come on, baby, tell me what's the word, a word of. Everybody say, when you hear the call, you got to get it underway.
And it's time for our word of the day, brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing from a small repair to a complete replacement. Give them a call at 728-3700. That's 728-3700. What a great time to think about Robbins Roofing. A lot of us are thinking about our roof.
Well, and I'll tell you, a wise homeowner is going to be thinking roof this next week, because just like Scott Hill, Call Us First Home Inspection says, clean out your gutter, or hire someone to clean out your gutter and get those clear, so that when the snow melts, it does not build up ice and go back and push and ruin your inside your house, because it does get into your attic and stuff when you don't have clean gutters. That's why we have gutters.
When water starts to back up, it causes problems.
Do you know,
I mean,
it's a strangest thing, isn't it? I never really understood hydraulic pressure so much, but I think that's what it's called. hydrolysis when water is always seeking a higher level. So it always goes up as opposed to going down if it's in a stable environment. So that you need to call Robin's Roofing this week, just saying, folks, because and no one's going to get on your roof when it's like it is right now. And if you have any insulation in your attic, you're going to have snow on your roof. And if you're the only person in the neighborhood that does not have snow on your roof, you better be checking your attic insulation.
You don't have enough insulation, most likely. Yep.
And you better brace yourself for your heating bill, too, right?
That's exactly right. So what's our word of the day?
Thaw. Thaw is, well, it's a noun and it's a verb, and we use it in both regards, actually. A thaw is a period of warmer weather where the ice and the snow melt, come to a higher temperature, and change from a solid, basically, into a liquid, right? That's a thaw. And then we use it as a verb, like when ice and snow or any other frozen substance, such as food, become liquid as a result of warming. Okay, just a little note here. Have you checked your freezer, your garage freezer?
Like the one in the garage, yeah.
Yeah, or your refrigerator out there. Has it tripped a breaker? And without your knowing it, has it thawed and maybe frozen again? You got to be really careful when your food gets warm and then it freezes again and you don't know that, because then it becomes spoiled and you end up sick.
Yeah.
Or dead. I mean, I'm the downer today, right?
Just nothing but encouragement this morning.
Yeah,
Becky.
There you go.
Nothing but encouragement.
Well, thaw. A lot of people would like to see that happen. And that, by the way, that was brought to you by Robbins Roofing. And I expect that you had better memorize that number. And if you want to find it, it is at BeckyIvins.com. Just Google Becky Ivins. Go to my website. And then there's a tab across the top. There's a few tabs. But go to Becky's Favorites. Just open that up and click on Robbins Roofing, and you're going to be able to find them just fine.
And we have another one of our favorites on the line right now.
We do.
That we're going to talk about, which has been one of the superhero people of the week, is plumbing. Eric Howell from Eric's Plumbing, who is our go-to favorite plumber. Eric, how are you doing this morning?
Oh, doing good. Just trying to stay warm.
Yeah, I bet.
Have you slept this week at all?
Oh, it's just here and there. I'm lucky.
So tell us, I mean, what is it that, I mean, we see some obvious things like my hot water, almost, I would say, a lot of people's hot water froze up because it was not in a conditioned air environment. They're in the attic. They're in the garage. I've got two tanks, but one of them is actually accessed from the outside in an outside closet. Surprisingly, that's the one that didn't freeze. The one in my garage froze. Bizarre, huh?
Wow. Yeah.
I know.
Well, sometimes I know your closet shares a little bit of warmth on the house, so maybe that kind of helped. Or maybe you were just using a little bit more of that hot water on that side to help keep it from freezing.
That's where my shower is, dude. I use that water. So, what advice do you have for us on as things begin to thaw, or even right now, what should we be doing?
Well, at this point, if stuff is starting to thaw, that's actually sometimes when leaks actually show up, because once the ice is gone, then the water starts flowing. So the most important thing now that it's up and running, you want to, if you're available, to check your meter to see if it's running when you're not using any water. Or just walk around the house where you know plumbing stuff is and just look for water just in case.
That's good advice.
That's really good advice.
Well, day before yesterday, you know, my daughter lives right across the street from us and her four little kids, and they ran across the street to come to Grandma's house to eat some soup or something. And Emily immediately gets on her phone and calls Kent, who was lagging behind a little bit, and said, Kent, bring me my... I got one of my feet totally wet. Bring me my boots and some dry socks. And Kent, being astute to things like that. He's going, how did her foot get wet? Totally wet. And so before he brought the boots and socks to her, he's going, why is there water that she's stepping in? And come to find out that their sprinkler had frozen and thawed and was running all over their yard. So, you know, rather than just avoiding looking at stuff like that, you probably should go check it out. And then he checked, and there was a cutoff valve at the sprinkler, at the extra, you know, by the rock, the fake rock on the side of the house. So
yeah, that's good. That comes in handy.
Yeah, that does. But most people do not have a turnoff. But that's an important thing to know, where you turn your water off, isn't it?
Right. All your newer houses should have valves inside the house. Most of the older houses do not. Make sure you have a water meter key. Know where it's at, then know where your actual water meter is. Just in case, so that if there is an emergency, you can go to it, turn it off before it does a lot more damage.
Right. And the key is this long stick-looking thing that's made of metal, right?
Uh-huh. Kind of looks like a big T with a little key kind of on top, and then on the other side, it's got a little slot. Keys for taking the lid off, and then the slot for turning the meter off. And you're going to want to turn that to the right clockwise turn.
And you can get those at a hardware store. The water meter key, right?
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Hardware stores. Now, it's probably going to be probably hard to get them now, but if they got them in stock, they normally carry them all the time.
And they're not expensive at all.
No, not too bad. Maybe $15.
I was going to say $12, $15. They used to be $4, but, you know, I'm old.
one more thing, just in case. And then not just because it's cold right now, but every winter, one of the first things you're going to want to check is your outdoor silcox. Because those can freeze, and they won't leak right away. They'll only leak when you actually turn it on. So if it gets really cold, and it's summertime, you're thinking all the leaks are good, and you try to open that up, you want to make sure the first time you use your outdoor faucet, you have someone on the inside as well, just to make sure those aren't leaking when you actually turn them on.
Do you know something? I sometimes forget that everybody doesn't know the lingo of what a house is made up of. I was dealing with an attorney and an engineer this week, and we're building a new house for them. Well, not me, but someone's building a new house for them. And we were going through the specs of the house, and it said 3 silcox. And they're going, is that normal, Becky? And I said, well, normal usually is 2. You usually have a faucet on the front and a faucet on the back of your house. But this one has a pretty wide lot, so they're going to put 3. And they go, so a silcock is a faucet? They didn't really know what that was. So silcock, is that it?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And that is your exterior faucet on your house.
Uh-huh. Just your exterior one that's mounted, that is in the house, not one that's coming out of the ground, but it's actually coming out of your house.
And tell us how that's put together, because I didn't know that when I was, you know, say 25 and mine broke. I didn't realize that it was a very long pipe that screws in.
Yeah, the actual faucets, they kind of range anywhere from about 6 inches to 14 inches, but basically they're long, so the actual rubber connection that stops the water is at the back, and that's to help prevent it from freezing, because they're trying to get it away from the outside of the house where it's cold. But in wintertime, the actual housing can freeze, but it won't leak because the faucet is still in the off position.
You turn it on the on position, and then you've got water everywhere.
Right. If it's frozen, so you always want to check it first time you use it every year after winter. And that's front and, you know, for everyone you've got.
If it is a little bit frozen, how do you know it's a little bit frozen? I mean, it's a little bit cracked, but not totally, like spewing water.
It's just with any leak. If it's a small little leak, it might take a day or two. If it's just dripping, maybe you'll get, like, you know, in the corner where that faucet is on the inside of the house, you might notice some water. But normally when those break, they break. So normally there's a pretty good crack and it's spraying. Usually you can hear it or you can see that water pretty quick.
And it doesn't come out the end of the faucet.
No, it will be on the inside corner of where that is, on the inside of the house.
So, here's my advice. You ready? Get yourself a box of Kleenex and go put it inside the bedroom or wherever your house is, wherever the outside faucet is, put a little stack of Kleenex on the floor. And then when you turn that faucet on, turn it on and then turn it off immediately. And then go in and check your Kleenex, because Kleenex will find a wet spot, right?
That's nothing to sniff at.
Yeah, there you go.
That's really bad. That's really bad.
What do you
bad.
Think, Eric? Because you got to check
that
it.
That was pretty bad, yeah.
Yeah, sorry about that, Eric. Yeah.
Nah, you're good. Yeah, Kleenex, paper towels. But normally, if it's open pretty good, you're going to catch it within 5-10 seconds. But, yeah, if it's a slow leak, yeah, throw some paper towels in the corner, some Kleenexes or something that'll soak it up. That way, in case you can't catch it, it'll catch it for you.
And that way, at least you know that it's leaking, so... many times you can just turn it off because it turns off inside the wall quite a ways, right?
If for some reason you open it up and you hear it leaking and you see that water going, go ahead and turn it off. And that way at least you still have water in the rest of the house, just you can't use that faucet until it's replaced.
Do you have time to hang on?
Just a little bit.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That was great. Well, we'll be back with Eric Howell from Eric's Plumbing right after this on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Becky, I think we have someone on the line who has a question for Eric.
We do. Eric Howell at Eric's Plumbing. Eric, we've got a couple people that have questions. Good morning, Lynn. Good morning, Lynn. Could we get your question?
Hi there. my neighbor installed a 12-inch antifreeze valve on his outdoor faucet. Is that overkill or is that a good idea?
The 12-inch? It's really whatever is in your house is what you've got to replace it with anyway. The average is about 10 or 12, so it doesn't hurt anything. But that's about the average size, so that doesn't hurt at all. But you know, whenever you pull out a faucet, you can't go, well, I just need something longer. It's going to be what it is because the plumbing in the wall is set for a certain size when they built that house.
What's an antifreeze valve?
Yeah, I'm asking about the antifreeze valve.
What is an antifreeze valve, Eric?
It's an anti-siphon valve is what it is. But it's basically what's designed is for two things. One is so when you turn off the water, all that water in the faucet will drip out so that won't freeze. And two, it's to prevent water contamination from some sort of water source going back into your water supply. So let's say if you have a garden hose and you dip it in a pool, somehow that water in the pool won't get back into your water supply where you might drink it. So it's to prevent water contamination.
Okay.
And from freezing.
Anti-siphon as opposed to antifreeze. So,
correct.
Yeah. Okay. I'd never heard of an antifreeze valve, so that makes me feel a little bit better. I hope that answers it. It's the size of a pipe. I mean, wherever your pipe is inside and your faucet outside, the distance between those is the length of the pipe you're going to need, the length of the faucet.
Okay,
awesome. Thank you, Lynn. And how about Ann? Good morning, Ann.
Hi, guys. This is a really interesting program. I have a question about this. Is it a seal cock or a fill cock? How's that spelled?
S-I-L-C-O-C-K, seal cock.
And when you're talking about turning it off, are you talking about turning it off inside somehow, inside the house?
Nope, just turning it off normal like you would on the outside. Just in the faucet, just in the off position with the handle on the outside.
Oh, you turn it off with the handle on the outside.
Yeah, just turn the faucet off. Now, if you are in an older home, and Eric, how old, about what time were anti-siphon valves normal for homes? What a builder would install them?
They've been around for quite a while. I mean, the anti-freezing ones, just the longer ones, been around for a while. The anti-siphon has been maybe 10, 20 years at least for those as well. But they've been around for a while.
But if you're in a home that was built prior to 2000, you might call Eric and have him just replace those with an anti-siphon valve, because that's just your hose, say it is in your yard and your yard's got chemicals on it from, you know, weed and feed or something. You don't want that going back into your water supply. And then the freezing part of it. Eric, explain that to us again. You know, like it won't freeze from the inside water pipe inside your wall. From there to the outside, it drains every time you turn it off, right?
Yeah, it'll drain that 12 inches or however long that faucet is. It'll drain that water off, just help prevent it from freezing, because there won't be any water there to freeze.
There you go. Okay. Well, thank you, Ann. Appreciate your participation in our show. And one last question for Eric, and that's from Mark.
Yeah, Eric, so I might have I've had homes with different types of piping, copper, the PVC, and nylon. Is there a difference in the type of piping that I have for the freezing factor?
You're talking about supply lines?
Yes.
There are, in the walls underneath your house, there are better piping that you can get. The newest, best stuff has PEX and Wurzbell piping. It will still freeze, but it's a little bit more resistant. It can kind of stretch a little bit versus, say, copper. Once copper gets cold and it freezes, it cracks. But so there's some stronger stuff that will stretch a little bit, but you still got to help keep them from freezing, but they're a little less likely to break.
I've always wondered about that with copper, because it feels like they should be more rigid and really kind of hard because they're metal, but they're also metal and they conduct cold better, which I would think they would freeze more easily. Is that kind of the...
It's about the same, because cold is cold. Once the copper's cold, the water inside is cold. But plastic, I mean, the plastic still gets a little bit cold, but the water inside, it just depends on the temperature that actually gets to it. So,
and we call it plastic, but it's really PEX, P-E-X, right? Which is kind of like a nylon and plastic combined, right?
Yeah, it's a big list of chemicals. Yeah, it's a man-made plastic.
Right, and it can expand a little bit. So if you get a tiny little freeze, which isn't what we've had this week.
Right, so sometimes if it will freeze, you might not have water to say that faucet, but it might not break when it thaws. You just wouldn't have any water.
Man, we appreciate your expertise, Eric. And Eric's Plumbing, how do you find Eric? What you do is you go to BeckyIvins.com. Just Google Becky Ivins, find my website, and go to the tab that says Becky's Favorites. And Eric is probably the best plumber I've ever run into. So use his expertise. Now, if you expect him to come out today, it's not happening. Eric has a long list of people that he does regular business with that... Because when I called Eric before the snow fell and said, Eric, I'm going to need your help on about three properties. And he says, get in line, which good plumber is going to be busy right now, right?
Yep. All my friends who are plumbers, everyone's got a long list.
Yeah, but he'll get to you, and he'll talk on the phone to you and tell you exactly how to prevent any further damage, and that's the important part. Eric, thank you for calling in and being part of our show today.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay, and now...
Hot, hot, hot. Feeling hot, hot, hot. Oh, Lord.
Our Smokin' Hot Deal is brought to you by Casa Perico, located on the south corner of 122nd and Penn and on 63rd just west of Meridian. Casa Perico, fresh Mexican food.
And anyone could use a hot meal about now, right?
It is that time. You and I were talking about different meals that we've been cooking during the week, and I'm ready for somebody else to cook.
Yeah, no
I'm
kidding.
Ready to go sit down, put some chips and salsa in front of me.
And some smoking hot fajitas.
There it is.
Yeah. Well, our smoking hot deal today is our smoking hot deal every day, which is go to BeckyIvins.com. And I will tell you, there is a category that everyone's using. Not everyone. A few people are using in our multiple listing right now, our MLS. And that is coming soon. During this week, it has been very rare to show property, even though the agents in my office have actually been out showing property. But it's kind of important to realize that most people aren't going to put their house on the market. They might be ready to, but they're not going to. So all you have to do is go to BeckyIvins.com and look at listings new listings, coming soon listings, and you'll be able to see that in about a few days, those are all going to hit the market. So if you have been waiting, your wait will be over. So call our office, 722-3232, 722-3232.
And this has been a great time as far as just getting ready for the spring. We're all ready for it now. And if you want your house to be the smoking hot deal, give us a call, 722-3232. We'll get your house listed. It's a great week.
We'll see you next week right here on
Oklahoma
News Radio
Real Estate
1000. KTOK.